Okay, well, hello everybody. This is Tool House, back for another episode on the Tool House podcast, How to Tools for Parents in Schools. And today, I have the privilege of introducing all of you to Gabriella Cacciati. Did I say that correctly?
Yes,
Yes.
yes.
Yes, and I actually met Gabriella last spring when I was doing a positive discipline workshop for parents at the Waco Montessori School. So Gabriella is a proud parent of two children, Olivia, who is 5, and Leonardo, who is, well, Olivia's almost 6, and then Leonardo, who is almost 2, well, it'll be 2 in January, right?
Yes.
Yeah, so birthdays in December and January. And Gabriella attended my workshop. I believe it was a 3-hour workshop,
Yes.
and then reached out to me because actually her profession is she is a professor at Baylor University here in Waco, and her two children go to Waco Montessori, and she's an advocate for Montessori. I believe that you're originally from Italy, right?
Yes, from
Yeah.
Italy,
Where
yeah.
Maria Montessori started her initiative and
Yes.
her all of her wonderful endeavors. So Gabriella and I had a lot in common. So I was thrilled that she reached back out to me. And then she and I have been having conversations about some of the content that was in the positive discipline course that can actually be helpful for adults as well. Okay, so there are principles and concepts and tools that we discussed during the workshop that parents use with their children to invite harmony and to also empower and encourage them in their development and to help them develop that internal locus of control so that they can really self-manage and self-regulate and then move into the world as an adult with independence and joy and success. And so I think Gabriella it's heard some of these tools and thought, ooh, these might be good tools for my adult students who are attending Baylor to hear because your work and the courses that you teach are on the topic of entrepreneurship, right? So you're helping young adults to understand how to think with an entrepreneurial mind and to help guide them in their dreams and aspirations and goals in terms of moving into the workforce and what is that going to look like. You're also doing a lot of research around that topic with various subcategories, right? So
Yes.
yeah, so do you want to just talk a little bit about first your research and then we can just kind of banter back and forth and then maybe move into kind of the coursework that you're doing. I think your research is kind of the fundamental component of what it is that you're teaching.
Yeah, absolutely. So thank you for having me. Feel privileged to have an opportunity to talk about what I do in my job. And as you said, Sean, yes, when I attended your course, I really your training, I really saw many of the concepts that you were teaching us to be very relevant for entrepreneurs. So I've been in this field, the field of entrepreneurship, for now probably 13 years. And when I start in my journey for to get a PhD, my predominant research topic was the fear of failure of entrepreneurs. So most of my research nowadays, it's on the intersection between psychology and entrepreneurship. And I've been exploring for many years this concept of fear, how fear, where fear comes from, why entrepreneurs are fearful. Is fear necessarily always a negative thing for entrepreneurs? And indeed, there are some childhood components to the fear that adults nowadays are experiencing, not just in entrepreneurship, but basically everywhere. And so indeed, lots of the topics you were covering that training and the idea of understanding your emotions and your relationship with the parents, because we know that fear and the fear of failure is one of the places where it's cultivated, if we can use this word, mm-hmm. is in the relationship with a parent, especially with the mother. Mm-hmm. So understanding how we can create context to avoid the cultivation of that fear in the family context is crucial, because then it has also an impact on the profession that you can Absolutely. Choose as an adult.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you're fearful as an adult, is like the end of the world, you will never be an entrepreneur. Not necessarily, because mm-hmm. nowadays we have discovered that many entrepreneurs are indeed fearful. But nonetheless, yeah. they start their own ventures. It's just that they have to do some more adjustment when they build their own mm-hmm. venture, when they face obstacles and setbacks in mm-hmm. in their journey. So I liked, because for me, it was like understanding this and also seeing through your training what I can tell my students is worth doing to cope with their fear right now, not necessarily mm-hmm. now going back to their personal relationships with their families, but more about, okay, how can I discover more my emotion, mm-hmm. face my emotion, and adjust as an entrepreneur in this journey? So for sure, there were lots of elements in the training that are relevant for many generations and many stops, many points of your life, and many contexts or domains of your life mm-hmm. That you can use. I also do lots of research on empathy and the role of empathy in mm-hmm. for entrepreneurs and for entrepreneurship. I use empathy and describe empathy a lot in my teaching of entrepreneurship, because all my courses are on the very beginning of the entrepreneurship major.
Mm-hmm.
What do I need to know if I want to become an entrepreneur? And what I tell my students, the very first thing I tell my students is, entrepreneurship is not about products or services. Entrepreneurship is defined as helping yourself by helping others. Mm-hmm. And this is a formula that applies in any context. So you might realize that you are already being entrepreneurial in your life, because think right. about the relationships you have with your friends. If you help them when they are in need, they will be more willing to help you when you are in need.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to go and work for an organization, if you help your employer can reward yes. you intrinsically or extrinsically, and right. vice versa for the employer. The employers know that if they help their employees giving what they need and satisfying their emotional needs, then they will be more productive. Mm-hmm. We know these things.
Yes.
And in entrepreneurship is even more so, because you need to help others. You need to help your customers. But what that means, it doesn't mean providing them a beautiful product, because we have so many beautiful products in the market that actually failed. And the number one reason why businesses fail is because they create things that nobody wants. So mm-hmm. everything, even entrepreneurship, starts with empathy. Connect with people to understand what problems are yeah. they experiencing. So
I
in
love
that,
that
in that training, pushing us to think about why my child is behaving in a certain way, and passing that apparent behavior to discover the problems that is inside, that logic is the logic of entrepreneurship.
Mm-hmm.
So it's beautiful. You as a parent, you have an opportunity of practicing those entrepreneurial skills, entrepreneurial right. principles in your household,
mm-hmm.
as opposed to creating a context of fear that indeed hampers the skills of entrepreneurship.
Right. Yeah.
So I think that was beautiful.
Or sneaking, or
yes.
You know, just punishments don't work. We talked Doesn't about work. How they're actually a form of enabling, because you're getting mm-hmm. in the way of a child's ability to problem solve and move through something, which they do need guidance and help with, but punishment is really not the answer. And
it's
when
not
children
the
are
answer. No.
When children are behaving in ways that we feel are challenging, they already feel bad, or they wouldn't be acting that way. And then we make them feel worse by punishing them. And then they start receiving those messages about themselves.
Yeah.
And I just wanted to circle back to what you were saying about fear and empathy with the employer. And Yeah, that it starts with the connection of the people. And so when I'm coaching people, I often encourage people who are complaining and discouraged and unhappy in their jobs or in their careers, you know, stop looking for meaning in your work and bring meaning to your work. You know, so if you can think about a way to bring something meaningful to your work, it's more joyful, right? Just like when children go to Montessori school, they're bringing their best selves to the classroom and they're adding to the value of the learning dynamics. And yeah, all of these principles can be applied to adults because let's face it, most of us didn't attend Montessori schools or have parents who knew how to empower and encourage while setting boundaries, firm, you know, consistent boundaries to feel safe.
Yeah, and I think if these principles are also important because if we really think about establishing relationships that are very aspirational, that are created to really establish an empathetic connection with the other person, we stop negotiating and we start collaborating.
Because yes, very good.
And so it doesn't, not every relationship or non-relationships have to be like, okay, I give this to you because you have to give this to me, as opposed to, let me understand what you really need. Let me try and help you give what you need, because if I do that, you will reciprocate. And indeed, yes. human beings are designed to, the brain is designed to trigger those responses.
Right.
And if we don't do this, every time everything becomes a negotiation, everything becomes so hard to accomplish that we're going to get exhausted at the end. Even if we get what we want, we're going to be exhausted from it. So let's change the logic and listen to others and listen to emotional needs, because everything starts from there.
Right.
People buy emotions. They don't buy a product at all.
Right.
And so we know this from the business logic, but indeed it's the psychology world that has been teaching us how humans behave. We just replicate that in business. So let's go back to what really works. Mm-hmm. People are driven by their emotions, and they will want to, in their life, whatever they do, they're searching for transforming a negative emotion into a positive emotion or a neutral emotional state into a positive emotional state. So every time you interact with another person, think, what can I do to transform your negative into positive, or your neutral into positive?
Yes, and I love what you're saying, because it brings back a lot, you know, one of the center points of the presentation that I did was, what we're looking for the need behind the behavior.
Yes.
So instead of reacting to behavior, let's figure out what this person needs. And it's true for adults as well. And I've had people that have attended those positive discipline workshops come to me after and say that it really improved their marriage. Because now they're looking for each other's, you know, oh gosh, what is the need behind the behavior? My husband seems to need a lot of attention these days, or my husband seems to be really angry, you know, that's power, or being really hurtful. So obviously, if somebody's being really hurtful all the time, they're hurting inside. And then, you know, the shutdown, the fear of failure, which you talked about, sometimes people have assumed inadequacy and they just kind of shut down and don't want to try. And it has been referred to as perfectionism, but I think it's really fear of failure.
Well, fear of failure has different manifestations. Perfectionism is one of them.
Yeah. And so, and then back to your topic of fear and entrepreneurship. So everybody also has, so positive discipline is very Adlerian. And Alfred Adler talks about inferiority complexes a lot and how we all have them every day. And depending upon the messages that we received when we were growing up, we may shrink into that inferiority, or we may overcompensate with that inferiority and become superior. And both of those, you know, create valleys, between people and their ability to connect. So once you understand that about yourself, you can start to, as you said, practice tools that are going to help you to be what we all want. We all want belonging and significance, and we all want to connect with each other. And there are tools, you know, once we understand kind of what our assets and our liabilities are, there are tools that we can practice to help us develop those skills that have been kind of shut down in us.
Yeah, and I think this is also, if we apply this to entrepreneurship, and this is what I'm doing, really, that training is bringing a new light into my classroom, because now I'm telling my students, when you have those feelings of fear, when you really feel inadequate and you shut down or you have this superiority response, go back to the logic of entrepreneurship, because this is what I talk to the what I do in the classroom, and say, you know, entrepreneurship is about helping yourself by helping others. So it's not about you. It's about your customers. It's about your stakeholders. So don't put yourself at the center of this entire project, because without people, you don't have a business. So put your emotion, your attachment to things on the side and say, okay, what can I do to satisfy what other people are needing right now? And so by changing the logic, you are more open to experimentation, and experimentation of every single step that you take along the way, with an open approach to failure, because failure sometimes is a very good source of feedback.
Absolutely. It's a learning opportunity, right?
It's a learning opportunity, but you need to reflect upon it, because it's not that learning comes as a byproduct of failure. And also, learning doesn't mean that you have to be okay with the failure. Like, the grief and the emotions that comes after failure is normal, and people have to cherish it, because putting pressure on people to be okay with failure, like to say, oh, that you get a bad grade, just celebrate. Well, actually, no. Nobody likes to get a bad grade. Nobody likes to mess up things at work, you know?
But, and so, yeah, reflecting on what I could have done differently, what I'm going to do.
What does it mean this for my next time? And taking the time for yourself, and not necessarily always blaming others. You can still blame yourself, but don't punish yourself, and that's
right. Take accountability, take ownership, and then move forward. So I received a master's degree in transformational leadership and coaching, and it was all about me unpacking myself and understanding myself in that, in all these contexts that you're referring to, so that I could be effective and helpful to other people. And you know, what I learned, what we practiced a lot, was owning, you know, name it to tame it, fear, hurt, anger, sadness, joy. What kind of emotion are you having right now? Honor it. It's okay. All these emotions are, you know, like, people talk about fear, hurt, anger, sadness, that those are negative emotions, but they're not. They're just emotions. And if you can't honor your fear and your hurt and your anger and your sadness, and then learn how to move through it instead of avoiding it or stuffing it down, then you really can't experience joy. Like, the joy is, you know, the joy is a combination of being able to ride through your fear, ride through your pain, and reflect, as you said, what's gone on here? What's my accountability? What have I learned from this? How can I move forward, right? We're all trying to reach our full potential until we're no longer here. I mean, or hopefully, that's the goal. I mean, that's the goal of our teaching, is that we want people to want to continue to evolve until they're no longer here.
Yeah, and shutting down completely those emotions, even ignoring them, of repressing them, is really not safe for your body. I mean, I had lots of entrepreneurs who have described the fact that they've been repressing their fears or their anxieties as opposed to confronting them. And that repression, it came back in the form of physiological problems. So there is a connection between your mind and your body, and you need to acknowledge it, and knowing that if you shut down your mind, your body is not going to be, you know, is going to record that remember that.
Right. And I know for me, what I learned about myself is, historically, I have made decisions cognitively and intellectually because that's where I feel safe. And I was not bringing my emotions into a lot of the decisions I was making and the way that I was managing things. And so I had to practice that and learn how to kind of balance, you know, intellect and heart, you know, in the way that I interact and connect with people. So I know from experience that, you know, these recognition, acknowledgement, and understanding yourself is where it starts, you know, and you can start to shift and incorporate tools that are going to help you to be more entrepreneurial. So I'm excited because next week I'm going to be teaching your students. I guess you have three classrooms or three classes of 20 some students.
It's what different numbers. I have 35, 45, and then a small one, which is just 8 students.
Okay, great. And so what I'm going to be doing is talking about understanding yourself as you're moving into entrepreneurship. Yes. And understanding who you are in terms of your defense mechanisms. And then also, what is it that when you're stressed, because working and, you know, building a business and being an entrepreneurial and any kind of work has stress involved, right? Yes. Because you're multitasking, you're on, you know, you're having to think, feel, do, you know, and stress isn't always, I don't think stress is a bad thing, right? It's what's kept us alive for all of these years. Oh. But when we become, when our bodies do become stressed because we are on, so to speak, we all have tendencies, different tendencies of how we show up and what we invite from people. And so there are good assets with that. And then there are liabilities with that. So we're going to be exploring that with your groups and hopefully give them some tools so that they can look at some of their liabilities and practice, you know, more balance. In the way that they show up, and inviting cooperation, inviting harmony with the people they connect with, and then doing that through a lot of empowerment and encouragement of self and of others.
Yeah.
So I'm excited about that.
Me too.
Yeah. All right. So, you can look up Gabriella. She's a professor at Baylor University in Waco, Texas. And I'm sure all of my listeners are now excited to explore your courses and ways that maybe you can help support them. So I encourage everybody to look you up on the Baylor website. Is that how they can find you?
Yes, they can just Google Gabriella Cacciotti, Baylor University, and I'm pretty sure it will show up at the top of the page.
Great. All right. Well, thank you so much for joining me, and I will see you next week.
Thank you so much for having me.